It's time for the show that brings the magic right to your speakers. Ears Up!
Hey, everybody. Another Ears Up podcast coming at you. We're coming down the universal connector thing to the internet, friends, and to your ears. Every day for 100 days. That's what we're doing. We're doing internet connecting ears times.
Wow.
Everyone. Yeah, I don't know, man.
No, that was you were on something.
It was good? I was on to something. All right.
I thought you were going with something like Universal, like studios, and I was like, wrong show, dude.
No, I wasn't doing that.
You didn't go that direction.
I did not go that direction at all. To be honest with you, I'm a little out of sorts, man. I think I have like a cold or something.
Yeah.
Again, this is one of those things where I wasn't planning on talking about, and then my brain short circuits and goes, tell about your entire life right now. Be super honest and open with everybody for no reason. I used to think it's COVID. It's not COVID. but I do feel like I have like a cold.
Do you mean like 5 minutes ago?
No, I mean like 14 seconds ago.
At the beginning of the sentence.
I was going to give you more credit and say at least like this morning.
Thanks. No. In fact, I tried to go get a test today.
I was going to make a joke about you needing to go get a COVID test, but I was like, that's rude.
No,
but
sometimes the best jokes are just, sometimes the best jokes are just reality. I couldn't get one until Tuesday. And it's like, what is going on in this world? Man, I can drive an hour to Vallejo and get one tomorrow. But then I was like, you know what? I just took an hour and a half nap and I felt a little bit better. I was like, okay, I'm out of my head enough. My headspace is, my mental is a little bit taken care of now. So I think I'm all right. And then every once in a while I go, well, I don't know. Maybe you do. Maybe you're dying. This time in 2 days you'll be on a vent. You know, that kind of stupid stuff. So I gotta figure my life out. But I think everything's fine. Drinking some tea. Be all right. You know, I got a fellow Greek on the show. Finally, the show can actually become what it's meant to be. You know what I mean? We got to anyway, I don't know. This show today, thank you guys very much for joining us. We are going to be talking a little bit later about Critter Country and what to do with Critter Country, or what we would do to Critter Country if we had the opportunity. Burn it to the ground. There's already enough fires in California, Bev. Why don't you just bring it down a little bit?
I'm just going to say the two Greek men on the show right now will very much appreciate my new land.
Oh, well, hey, man, I think that's going to be awesome. Yeah, that's a little bit of pandering, Taryn, but that's all right. Well, let's bring Lee on right now. Lee Paschopoulos. No, I messed it up. I shouldn't swear either.
Yeah, you really
I really messed it up. Do it for me, man, please.
All right, so if you say it in Greek with the Greek accent, it's Paschalopoulos.
Paschalopoulos.
You say it in an English way, you'd say Paschalopoulos, like Papadopoulos. So there you have it.
Paschalopoulos.
There you go. Perfect.
Okay, see? It takes me a little bit. Look, I'm still trying to learn how to say domades, okay? Like, I got I can say tekanis, not very well.
Tikanis, and I would say kala, so there you go.
There you go. And then and then every time during Christmas, I like to burst into my in-law's house screaming, Christos. Anyway, and that's it. That's really, and then my dad taught me like a weird lullaby in Greek. Maybe if you're lucky, I'll sing it for you. And that's it. I don't know what it means. And
that's all you really need, to be honest with you. There's actually one word that I don't want to say because we're on a Disney podcast.
Yeah.
But I think you probably know what it is. But it's like it's a universal word that can be a noun, an adjective, a verb. You could have a conversation and that whole sentence can be that one word. Used different ways.
It start with the letter M?
Bingo.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Bingo.
Got it.
And most people don't know that the English language has, I think, 60,000 Greek words that have a Greek root to them. So, you know, on a daily basis, you probably do use a Greek word. You just don't know it.
That's true. Like octopus.
There you go.
See? Octo is, eight. Anyway, whatever. Lee, welcome to the show, man. You are the owner, the driver of the Disney in Greece Instagram account.
I am.
Tell me a little bit about why you are so obsessed with Greece and what your account is all about, because this is I've been dying to talk to you about this.
All right, so I will explain that I fell in love with Disney when I was a child. My parents, traditional Greek parents, owned restaurants, And Sundays they were closed, and Sundays we would just watch The Magical World of Disney on ABC, 7 p.m., sit on the couch. And that was when I said, you know what? I want to go there and I want to do that. So unfortunately, it took a little while because Greek parents don't go to Disney. They take you to the beach, and that's pretty much it. So I had to wait till that was our trip. But when I turned 24, I did end up going to Disney World, and it just put an exclamation point on how much I loved it. It's not so much the cartoons. It's the attention to detail and how they can take you away from, like, let's be honest, the world is in turmoil, and sometimes you need to get away from stuff. And they do an amazing job. The second you walk through those doors, you kind of, you're part of a cartoon, you know?
Yeah.
And I fell in love with it. And we ended up going to, every year we go for like 4 or 5 days. And we went to Epcot 3 years ago with my family and my wife's family. It was a big contingent of Greeks. And we went to the World Showcase, which, you know, you're familiar with.
Yeah.
And after walking around, my wife's uncle goes, hey, where can we get some Greek food? So at that point, Kat Cora's Cucina had already closed.
Okay.
And, you know, of course, they did her the disservice of sticking her on the boardwalk, which was like way out of the way to go there. So to go to the boardwalk to eat, I mean, you're going to waste at least a good 2 hours of you know, it wasn't fair how they set it up. Now they have Disney Springs where everything's in the middle and you can go to like 80 restaurants within a arm's length. You know?
Yeah.
So after walking around, I turned to and asked one of the cast members, I said, hey, where can we go get something Greek to eat? I said, my uncle wants something. And the cast member looks at me straight face and she goes, oh, you can go to Morocco. And I'm like, why would I go to Morocco for Greek food? She's like, well, that's where we have Greek food. And I'm like, in the back of my head, I'm like, do you have pizza in China? I'm like, what's going on here? You know? So to jump ahead a little bit, we go to the Italian Pavilion a lot because they have a restaurant there called Via Napoli. Mm-hmm. Via Napoli, they actually import a lot of the food to make the pizza, and also they import the water. So when they make the pizza, it's like you're actually having a pizza from Italy. That's how precise and, you know, accurate it is.
Wild.
So I said to myself, like, why would they put a Greek food in Morocco? First of all, Morocco and Greece are like 2,000 miles apart. Eight countries separate them. They don't share the same religion or the same language. Most of the coastline of Morocco is in the North Atlantic. So I'm like, when you look at it as a Greek, I'm like, this just doesn't sit right. So we go to the restaurant, we sit down, I look at the menu, and that's when, in Greek, we say, which means like, it lit me up. It got caught, like I caught a fire. I'm like, what am I reading? So I wrote down some of the stuff that's actually currently on the menu.
Okay.
Tzatziki, which is Greek and Turkish. So
right.
Okay.
Yeah, so fair dues.
I want to be fair. I don't want to say that it's mostly ours, but Greeks and Turks are mostly known for that.
Yep.
Then they have tiropitakia, which is a Greek dish. Tiropitakia, teri means cheese, and pita is like Greek pita. So it's a Greek dish. The problem with it is they put tomato and relish in it. That's not what tiropitakia are. So I'm like, not only have they watered down Greece, but they took the food and ruined it.
Yeah.
They have Greek wines. They have mythos beer. And it's all glommed in with Morocco. So
okay.
When we got back to the States that very next morning after the flight, we're having breakfast, and I started doodling on a napkin. And my wife's like, what are you doing? I said, I'm starting a petition. And she thought I was crazy. Needless to say, since then I've had a few celebrities reach out to me. The Greek church has reached out to me, the archdiocese.
The Greek church reached out to you.
What's that?
The Greek church. Wow. How was that conversation?
Well, they saw my Instagram page, and I got a call randomly from this gentleman named Costa. Of course, most Greek names are him. Most Greek guys are named Costa or Nick. And he's like, my name is so-and-so. I'd like to speak to you. Anything we can do. So they started posting my photos. We ended up getting calls from a school in Australia that was all Greek students reached out to us. And it just, you know, it was just, it, I just did it to pass the time. And all of a sudden, it started to take on a mind of its own. And I'm like, wow, this is really getting serious now, you know? So, I mean, I've been reached out by the first person actually to reach out to me, which I want to mention. I don't want to forget him because he's actually technically my partner in this. His name is Thanos Vadouris. Thanos is a Greek gentleman from Washington, D.C., and he is retired from, he was a computer programmer for NASA.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And when he called me, I thought he was a crazy kook. And then my wife Googled his name and he's a real person. And he's actually the one who helped me set up the website, the petition, the Facebook page. The Instagram page was all me, but he did everything else behind the scenes. And he has just been nothing but awesome. And we become very good friends. He's an older gentleman, but he's anything pro-Greek, he's all for. So he's helped us with that. And yeah, that's how we've gotten to this point at this point, you know? So
wow. Greece in Disney. Instagram.com/Greece in Disney. And you can go and check out all the posts. And you were telling me that a lot of the renderings, or I think you said all of the renderings, the cartoons that you put on your Instagram handle are drawn by you.
Correct.
That's amazing.
Wow.
And I'm looking at it. Like, jeez.
I was accepted to Rhode Island School of Design back in the day, and Pratt. But I have, I think only Greek people, Greek kids would understand me. But Greek parents, you might have a dream. Greek parents have a great job, do a great job of destroying that dream.
So. They really do, man.
Yeah,
they really do.
You know, so they're like, oh, you want to draw a mouse? No, 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 no. You're gonna go to business school like everybody else does. So. I stuck with it. I started, you know, my wife actually at the beginning, I was just drawing it on my phone, believe it or not. And then a couple of years ago, my wife got me an iPad with a program and I started going to town and all the renderings are me. So, you know,
wow, they look great. I would have no idea. I just assumed that you were like putting them together off the internet or, you know, whatever, but, that's great. That's crazy, man.
Nope. Those are all me, man. I take a lot of pride in this. I've taken it. I'm a proud Greek and I'm just kind of bothered by the fact that they were not there.
I don't think you're kind of bothered. I think you're highly upset about it. Cause like in your,
you're not
hiding it at all. No, no. You're very cause I'll read some of those posts and I'll be like, this dude is upset. And I get it. So
you know what? People think of, you know, some people say, oh man, you know, it's you know, you're way too upset over it. I'm like, think about it for a second. Think about Greece's resume compared to other countries around the world. And first of all, I want to preface this by saying I think every country should be in the World Showcase. Every country. I think it's a great place. When they opened up Epcot, it was supposed to be like a World's Fair kind of thing.
Yeah.
And a place to learn about other countries and their cultures and their foods. And the former Prime Minister of France said, Europe without Greece is like a child without a birth certificate, right?
Yeah.
And, it, you know, when you think about your daily life, like you see and touch and say something Greek 24/7 and you don't know it.
Right.
You know, and it's kind of tough to know that right now as we speak, the Olympics are going on, you know?
Yep.
If Greece was in the World Showcase and every 2 years you have the Summer Olympics and the Winter Olympics, the amount of revenue it would generate is mind-boggling, you know? And I don't understand why they're missing it. I did do some homework, though, and I did find something out that you might find interesting. So in the 80s, there was a pavilion set up for Greece. So what was going to happen was the Onassis family was going to fund half of it. And then there was a Greek, I think she's a singer. Her name is Melina McCoy. No, I'm sorry, she's an actress. And she was going to be a spokesperson. And there were Greeks that were from Tarpon Springs that were going to fund the rest of it. And then when it came time to, you know, cross T's and dot I's and sign contracts, all the Greeks scattered. Yeah, and the deal fell through. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do it again. And I've been in contact with some people that if we can get to that point, you know, hopefully we can push it through this time, but you know, I definitely think Greece should be there. It's a shame it's not.
Well, when you say to that point, what point are you striving for with this?
Well, right now we need to get a certain amount of signatures. I have friends and relatives who actually work in Disney, that have been giving me pointers and things we need to do. We need to get a certain amount of signatures to get their attention. So that's one thing. Okay. I've actually gotten the attention of a gentleman by the name of Angelo Tsaroukas, who's a Greek comedian from Canada. He actually did a 15-second video for us. He's been supporting us. We've reached out to a couple of celebrities that are in the works, but unfortunately, because of COVID now, things have kind of slowed down. So, you know, obviously it's been put on the back burner for the time being, but we're still chipping away. And then hopefully once this is all done, we can, you know, push forward and hopefully, you know, get this done.
Okay. So it's not just, you're not just a fan site on Instagram that sort of like vents your frustrations a lot like I do on this show. And then that's it. Like, you're actually doing something to achieve a goal.
I am spending my own money. I don't ask for money. I don't, you know, nobody's paid me anything. You know, it's funny. I get a lot of trolls who say, oh, you can't do that. You can't draw Mickey and put grease, you know, you're going to get sued. And I'm like, if they're going to sue me, they might as well sue everybody that's been using Disney Mickey Mouse shapes, because there's thousands of them online. You know,
yeah.
I'm like,
yeah,
right.
If they want to come for me first, that's fine. But I use my own funding. I mean, I'm passionate about it. I think grease has to be there.
You know? I can tell. And, you know, I'll tell you what, I've been to Disney World once. My wife and I went on our honeymoon, was it?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. And, I remember, you know, going through a small world, and I was very excited, because even before we went to Disney World, I was like, how is Greece not in Small World in Disneyland? I don't understand. And I basically went through the same diatribe that you just did, but I was like more like animated about it, because because this is just what I do. But it's like, I don't understand. You got drama and government and, you know, societal, you know, structures and just a lot of, you know, on and on and on, right? Math. You know, philosophy. And yet, you know, we have a little cowboy guy, you know, swinging a lariat around. Like, you know, where are we? Where am I? I want to be seen. And then we go to Disney World, and I see that scene in Small World. It's like, okay, that's sort of there. But in World Showcase, there was nothing. There was nothing. Italy has this big pavilion carved out for them. And I felt I was upset as well. So I'm glad to know that it's not just me and my brain, that it's other people too.
Trust me, I'm probably the angriest Greek guy you'll find. I'm just, you know, I see the things that make me upset is the fact that there's the president of development in Disney World is a gentleman who's been working there for over 40 years. His name's George Kalogridis. And I'm like, how does this guy walk around through Epcot, through the World Showcase, and not say my country's missing? The other guy too that I don't want to call him out because I like him and I think he's a good actor is John Stamos, is a huge Disney guy.
Oh yeah,
and he's got, huge.
Yeah, I know he's kind of locked in because he works for ABC and ABC's a parent company Disney. I get it, but at some point you got to take a step back and say, you know, what's right is right. You know, I mean, just recently, what, 2 years ago, they updated Soarin'. And they still didn't put grease in. I'm like,
well, they couldn't see through the pollution when they flew by.
It's a very good point. I mean, if you go to It's a Small World, they gave us a sheep that's nodding its head no and a small little boy. And then if you go to Spaceship Earth, there's Socrates talking to a couple of students, and that's it. Actually, no, one more thing. The Coca-Cola store has a fountain drink that's Greek, that's written in Greek, and that's it for the Greeks. That's all. Done. So the country that, you know,
that's all
the
we
most
get.
The most mimicked building in the world is the Parthenon, you know, between philosophy, the marathons, the Olympics, theater, like you said, so many things we've done, and we don't have a pavilion. It's just mind-blowing to me.
It really is, man. It really is. Well,
and the fact that they stuck us in Morocco. I mean, if they stuck us in Italy, I can say, okay, they're 500 miles away. They're right next door. I get it.
Sure. But, yeah. They've controlled us for 400 years. It's fine. We can sell domades from there.
Right. I can live with that. But yeah. I mean, Morocco, it doesn't jive with me. So no. I said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to keep pushing. So that's what I've been doing.
Yeah. Okay. I love it, man. I love it. Well, I'm signing the petition right now.
I already did. I just did.
Yeah, I just ask everyone if they can just go to www.greaseandepcot, you know, and just sign it, pass it along to friends. I got to get at least 250,000 signatures. The funny part is I get a lot of likes on Instagram, and, you know, I post. And I think for every 100 likes I get one signature on the application, on the, because I don't think people understand how to do it. And a lot of Greeks in Greece don't get it. So, you know, they don't, they just think it's Mickey Mouse and that's it. They've never been to Walt Disney World or Disneyland for that matter. So,
yeah,
you know, trying to bring attention to it, and hopefully, you know, we'll, I'm just going to keep going until I get to an end.
I love it.
Yeah, I love it too, man. Everyone go check it out. Greece in Disney on Instagram. The link is there for his website, and you can sign the petition there as well. I just did it, and you know how I feel about petitions. I don't sign them, but this is obviously very important to me, not only for cultural reasons, but, you know, well, mainly for cultural reasons. It makes me feel good. And I think, honestly, you know, we do deserve to be there. The Greeks need to be in Epcot. They need to be represented in a couple more places other than just Small World. You know what I mean? If, especially if it's about sharing cultures. Well, like Lee is saying, show me a culture that has shared more with the world than Greece. You can't do it. You just can't do it.
Well, and if you look at the word, you know, the acronym Epcot, the P stands for prototype.
Yeah.
Proto is a word meaning first. So, you know, we're jammed in there every which way, and they just, you know, and every time something, and now, I mean, they missed the mark. Like right now, for example, if you look in the last 10, 15 years, Disney has done a lot of movies with female cartoons, and that's where their bread and butter is right now. I'm just shocked that the goddess Athena hasn't had a movie yet. And I've actually drawn an actual cartoon of the goddess Athena, how I pictured it, and I posted it. And I'm like, how are they missing the mark? Not only that, now you look at Giannis winning the world title, and, you know, for Milwaukee. And he took the title to the Parthenon.
That's right.
The
Parthenon, right? That's, yeah.
You know, I'm like,
he climbed the Parthenon with his trophy.
Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating to sit here and like mention everything Greek that's going on right now, and Disney's like, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And it's the money grab, and that's what they're there for. They're there to make money, you know, and that's. That's something they're missing out on. They really are. You know, like I said, every 2 years between the Winter Olympics and the Summer Olympics at a, you know, Greece pavilion, they could be selling God knows what, you know? So,
well, let's do it. Yeah. Taryn,
I just had a little question.
Sure.
So I thought that each of the countries that are represented at the showcase paid for their spot to be there. Is that true? So
that is,
Greece just not been asked yet?
Well, at the time, the research that I found, that I think this is pretty accurate, was that they were not interested because, again, they don't know. Greeks have – when I went to Greece a couple of years ago I did something crazy. I brought a little figurine of Mickey Mouse, and we went to the Parthenon, and I needed to get, I'm going to start posting these photos. It's Mickey in front of the Parthenon, which everybody thought was funny. The problem that happened was I actually got yelled at by a security guard, but apparently you can't take photos with, you know, objects and post them online. I guess it's against the law. I was like, well, you know what? I just spent X amount of money to get here. So I actually dove into a group of Chinese tourists, and I kept popping up to take photos and popping back down. And then I ran out with my wife, and I said, you know what? I'm doing this. I'm going for it. I don't care.
Against the law.
Wow.
So what I found out was, yes, they did. But now apparently Disney is going to be paying a portion of it. So
okay.
How true that is, I don't know. The Greeks didn't want to do it because they didn't know what it meant and what it's about. They could care less. Greeks that live in Greece tend to vacation in Greece, and that's it.
Okay.
You know, unfortunately, they don't have a lot of them don't have enough money to leave and, you know, come to the United States. You know, for them, and you got to think about it, to come to Disney World for a week. It's, you know, you're looking at for a family of four at least $5,000-$6,000.
Yeah.
You know. And when you make 450 euro a month, that's not, you're not going to do it, you know? So it's difficult. So I try to explain to my cousins who will be watching this probably tomorrow,
nice.
You know, what it is. I had to show them YouTube videos and say, hey, and try to explain to them that Disney World's the size of Manhattan. It's 42 square miles. And, you know, it's like trying to explain, you know, flame to a caveman before they see it. They can't figure out what I'm trying to explain to them. You know, they just think it's some sort of a park, but.
Well, and also you can't show them anything tangible. Like as you've made clear, there's such an underrepresentation there. You can't be like, oh, well, they have this or they have that, you know, representing our culture, but there's nothing.
Well, I mean, you think about the food, the music, the culture itself. I mean, it's just, and of course, being Greek, and, you know, Jason will attest to this, where Greeks are very proud. We're like sometimes over the top proud, like in your face proud. We love passionately and we hate passionately. And like when I saw this happen,
Did you know Jason was Greek?
Yeah.
So never, I mean, when that. I saw this happen in Morocco, it lit me up. And you know, we've it's funny because there've been a few times. I think it's been about a half dozen times. John Stamos has liked some of our stuff.
Oh, wow.
Dave Bautista, who's part Greek, liked some of our stuff. We've had a lot of people reach out to us that I think their hands are tied because they have contracts with Disney. Mm-hmm. So
maybe
that's their way of saying, hey, we're here, but, you know.
For sure.
But what are they going to do? We'll see what happens. I'm just going to keep pushing forward. I'm not going to stop. So.
Well, we've reached out to Stamos a couple times to be on the show, and if he ever does, I'm going to hold his feet to the fire, the Promethean fire.
Yeah, and say, you know what? Yes, please do, because he's a big Disney fan. But I will go pound for pound for him with who's a bigger fan, because I feel like I'm doing something about it. And you know, I look at it like we don't have children of our own, but I look at John Stamos and he's got a little boy, and I'm like, when he brings his kid to Disney World. There's got to be a time where he's going to say, hey, Dad, how come Greece isn't here? You know, like, you're Greek, you're famous. Why didn't you do something about it? You know, you have Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
You know, he became an honorary Greek. If you go online,
his wife is Greek, right?
His wife is Greek, but he was baptized Greek, and now he's Greek. And if you look on Instagram for the last 4 weeks, the amount of A-list celebrities that went to Greece is mind-blowing. Magic Johnson, Justin Bieber, Tom Hanks, so many people. And it's like everyone else knows about Greece, but Disney does nothing about it. And that's like – it's almost like they don't want to, you know. And it pains me to say that, but – you know, I don't know who's in charge over there as far as Imagineering, but somebody's got to step up and say, hey, you know, we got something here.
Yeah, we got to put the word out and get the interest going. Lee, thanks, man. I really appreciate your time. Thank you very much for coming on the show and pushing this passion project, man.
I'll keep pushing.
Yeah, please do.
Keep pushing.
All right, and let me know if we can do anything.
Thank you so much, guys.
All right, thank you, man.
Have a great night.
You too.
You too.
I'll see you.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye, man. Yeah, go sign that petition, guys.
Yeah. I think everybody in the chat already did. So
good.
That's good.
I just did. While he was talking as well.
Do it again.
No, it says don't
do
it. I can't
do two things at once, but I'll do it when we're done.
Do it multiple times. Get your family to do it. You guys can each sign your family up, you know, give them individual email addresses, and you should just really do it.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, that was neat. All right. Thanks, Lee. Appreciate it. That was a good time.
It was very impassioned, but also very interesting.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure, man. For sure. It was good to get the backstory on, because it is very much a passion project, and we all know, we've talked about it, like, petitions don't really end up doing a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like the wheels are sort of in motion in case something does take off with this, that this one could actually do something. So instead of signing a petition to, like, I want more napkin holders, how dare Disney take away napkin holders in Tomorrowland Terrace? Bring them all back. Bring double the napkin holders. We get a free napkin with every purchase. Instead of doing something weird like that, do this where you could actually make an impact with, it sounds like, you can actually decide how the park should be.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I'm reading too much into it.
He has a plan beyond the petition.
Yeah.
Petition is just step one, which is, I think a lot of times the petitions are just the petition.
Yeah, for sure.
There's not really like a second step.
I love that the Greek church reached out to him. Like,
so dope, dude.
Greeks are sort of like Italians, but cool, but like less violent. You know, we're just like family, religion, but I'm just going to stay home.
I know when he said that, like, Greek people, and I know he referenced it in respect to, like, cost.
Yeah.
But when he said, like, people who live in Greece, like, vacation in Greece, I was like, oh, so Jason.
Yeah. It's in our genes, man. I don't have to tell you.
I told him the other day, I was like, I really just need to, like, go somewhere, like, where there's, like, a body of water, and, like, I just want to go somewhere. And he was like, backyard? Like, dead serious. And I'm like,
yeah,
no,
me dude. Too. There's nah, we have dude. A body of water in our backyard. Let's go. I mean, it's just right there, and we're saving money.
Although, if you live in Greece, that's still a hell of a place to vacation.
That is true.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
My friend, I didn't realize, my former coworker, she would just started posting pictures, and her whole family was in Santorini, and I was like, oh, I want to be there.
Yeah. Isn't that Sublime song? No. I don't practice Santorini.
Yeah, Santorini. Yeah.
I thought he said sangria.
I don't practice sangria. I don't get drunk before noon. If I had a million white claws, then I'd smash them all.
I spilled them all.
We'll be right back on Ears Up. And now, back to the show that's more fun than waiting in line for Peter Pan on a hot August Anaheim day, Ears Up.
You can find us on social media, you guys. Did you know that? Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest. You can send feedback on this show to Taryn at earsup-podcast.com. Show suggestions to Terrence at earsup-podcast.com. You can say hi.
Hi.
To Bev, and anything else comes to me, Jason, earsup-podcast.com. Fun fact, Disneyland is open, and there is no better place to go to take you there, at least, than ConcierGears. You go to ConcierGears.com. Let them do everything for you. You guys, there's no need for you to lift a finger. This is America in 2021. You don't need to do anything. You just make a phone call, and it's all done for you. So,
and it's not a trick. Like, there actually aren't fees. Like, I was talking to Jason last night. I was like, how do they even make money?
Yeah.
Like, I don't even understand it, because they're just like a person. Yeah, right. Yeah. And that's what it came down to, is that it doesn't matter.
There's no fees. There's no fees that you pay aside from just park stuff.
Yeah, you have to pay for your park stuff.
You got to pay for your park stuff.
They're going to buy it for you. But
yeah, if you're going to Disney World, do that too. Disney Cruises, they do that too. So check them out, ConcierGears.com. Even if you aren't ready to book yet, find them on social, like them on social, follow them around, send them an email, maybe poke around a little bit. Like, well, how does this work? What can I do?
Yeah.
When do I need to make a decision? What needs to happen here? And they'll tell you. And, you know, then you can do it 6 months in advance, whatever you want to do. They'll help you with it. And then if you have to cancel for whatever reason, they'll help you do that too. They're nice people. They're helping you out.
You know, if I can just sing their praises again, I'm like a month out at this point from our trip, and we made our food reservations, and there was one particular restaurant that we really wanted to go to, and it ended up being that all of the reservations were gone. And I mean, we were like 60 days, like right there, and there was nothing. And the person I'm working with was like, yeah, you know, I'll set an alert, and if something comes up, I'll book it for you, blah, blah, blah. And nice. I was like, okay, whatever. So I went online, and I'm like fiddling around, and I ended up making a different reservation for a hotel myself, or for a restaurant myself. And then I woke up one morning to an email, and it was like, your reservation is confirmed for the drive-in whatever place. And I'm like, oh, hell yeah. I went in and like canceled the one that I made. So
yeah.
They're working for you even when you think there's no hope.
That's awesome.
That's what the hope bringers. They bring hope to your vacation. That's right.
Nice.
You can support the show in a couple of different ways. You can go to Etsy.com/shop/Covers. You can buy some shirts. You know, it's weird. I know Dan's in the chat. The Supreme Resort logo. We have a Supreme Resort logo shirt. It was pulled by Etsy because they don't allow. What was the phrasation they used? Basically, they're saying it was counterfeit. Actually, I think they said counterfeit. And I'm like, I don't understand. So they go, we're pulling it, and we're doing a 10-day internal review of this posting. And there's no way anywhere that you can contact Etsy. You can't do it. There's the email you can't reply to. This is from their Etsy Marketplace Integrity team. They've deactivated one or more of your settings as potential counterfeit or unauthorized item. So poking around their website, you can sort of like get to a contact page based on these different choices that you make of like, I need help managing a listing. And it says like deactivated thing. Click on it, write this whole thing out, hit send again, nothing is happening with a button.
That's the worst.
And there's no email address. I reached out to on Twitter. There's nothing. And it's like, I don't understand what's going on. But so my apologies. You cannot buy the Supreme Resort logoed shirt. Dan is basically what I'm just talking right to Dan now. You can't buy it, Dan.
But in like, what, 4 more days, maybe you can again.
Hopefully. I don't know. It's very
I
weird.
I just bought 2 shirts. One of them is literally Mary Poppins. It says practically perfect in every way on it.
Yeah.
And the other one is a silhouette of Mickey Mouse. What?
Yeah, but the Supreme Resort might be a counterfeit right. one. Yeah.
The Supreme Resort is counterfeit.
Wow. How many Churro shirts did you buy, though?
0, because I already own 2.
Or Fantasyland shirts in the Tomorrowland logo that I'm wearing right now, guys. But the best way is going to patreon.com/earsup. That's the best way to do it. The Patreon rebalancing tiers are in place. Depending on the tier, you get a fatter discount on our Etsy shop. So that's cool. You get at least 3 days, if not more, head start for some of the bonus content that we're going to be pushing out there. And also even the secret show. So if you want to listen to the secret show a little bit early, you can raise your tier a little bit. If you don't like the higher tiers, you can drop down to just the 5. That's fine, too. Whatever you guys want to do. However you support us, I really appreciate it. It doesn't matter how. Even at the $2. We love everybody equally here on this show. Speaking of little shows, the latest episode of the Pyramid, the Eye of the Ears, is out. I released it today. So if you are a Patreon supporter, why don't you go ahead and listen to that. I do have about a 3 to 4 minute clip I'm going to play at the end of the show. From
it's
that
good.
Show.
It's good. It's a doozy.
It's a doozy. It's all about Cars theories in the Cars universe. I think it's pretty good, man. I was pretty excited about it. Mm-hmm. So check that out anyway. You can become a Patreon supporter and you grab the episode of Pyramid Eye Ears. I think what I'm going to try to do is go back and re-release some of the other content that was just for some of the other tiers, like Cool People Doing Cool Things was only for the $12 level. So you $5 people, you'll get some new content out of it and stuff like that. So all the more reason to keep supporting the show. And we really, really appreciate it.
The 21st Amendment Brewery's latest beer release, Tropical Brew Free or Die IPA, puts an island vacation in their whimsically designed cans. That's right, cans. This refreshing year-round release, Tropical IPA, is brewed with pale and Munich malts, brimming with Azaka, Citra Cryo, and Mosaic hops, and topped with a splash of pineapple flavor. The result is a clean, refreshing beer featuring a mix of sweet malt, balanced bitterness, fruit-forward hops, and a nice tropical vacation at the finish. Tropical Brew Free or Die IPA is available at your local good beer shop, neighborhood taproom, and anywhere else people come together to find great craft beer.
All right. Look at that. You don't even have to hear my voice for that anymore.
Eric sounded great. That was good.
Yeah, that's pretty good, right? Pretty happy about it. All right. Now is the time for the show where we talk about Critter Country and what to do about it. I just don't know. We can either get rid of it. We can revamp
burn
it.
To the ground.
We can do a lot of different stuff with it. So we all sat down individually and did a little armchair imagineering and tried to figure out just what the best route is with Critter Country. It's one of the last sort of almost last untouched areas of the park, except for Splash Mountain revamp, which for me threw a whole bloody wrench into what needed to happen.
Oh, see, I made that so easy.
Oh, Taryn made it so easy, guys. The first thing ever she's made easy on me is Critter Country revamp. So let's get into it. Who wants to go first? Should I go first?
Yeah, you never go
for
first.
A change?
Sure.
Let's do it. Let's do it. I was feeling a little saucy yesterday when I started this. Like most things in this part of the United States, the area we know as Critter Country was built on the backs of the native population. Originally named Indian Village, this area of the park showcased the wonderful artistry of Native American culture, as well as the Indian war canoes seeing how most California tribes weren't really canoe warriors, as far as I know, this stereotype was finally ended when the area changed over to bear country. Themed to the forests of the Pacific Northwest, much like that Rainbow Campground John in DCA, whatever it's called, the crown jewel here was the Country Bear Jamboree. Bear Country also had the Golden Bear Lodge, which is now the Hungry Bear Restaurant. Bear Country went the way of the dodo in 1988 in favor of Critter Country. Welcoming this change was a brand new ride, Splash Mountain. In fact, the two are so tied together, the name Critter Country actually comes from a quote in the Song of the South that goes, where the folks are closer to the critters and the critters are closer to the folks. Huh. So right there, if we have a problem with Splash Mountain, we should probably have a problem with Critter Country name because it comes from the movie. So now that we got a little bit of a history of Critter Country out of the way, I want to try something here. I want everyone to close your eyes.
Oh boy.
You listening? Close your eyes. Unless you're driving or performing surgery or dangling your child over the railing of your third floor condo for fun, just close your eyes. Think about the Haunted Mansion, specifically the front of the line. You're facing the front of the line. You're about to walk in those gates. Now you turn and you start walking to your right, which on my notes I put to your left, and that doesn't make any sort of sense. You start walking to your right, past the trail of people escaping the best ride in Disneyland, towards the roar of Splash Mountain, both the anchor and the entrance to Critter Country. Now, in your mind, I want you to stop in front of the flume chute, making sure there are no people directly behind you before you stop, of course. And I want you to think about what lies ahead. What does Critter Country actually have in it? Winnie the Pooh? Some kind of shop? Maybe two. Entrance to Splash Mountain? It's probably about it, right? You're not necessarily super wrong. You can open your eyes now. As far as land goes, it's tiny. It's a mere 4 acres. And as you climb that small hill towards Critter Country, look to your right. The Harbor Galley right there is part of Critter Country, right by the sailing ship Columbia. I did not know that. Harbor Galley technically is part of Critter Country.
I also did not know that.
As you move into Critter Country, you pass the little cute sign there. You round a small corner, and you're at Davy Crockett Explorer Canoes, formerly the Indian War Canoes. Right across from that is the Briar Patch, which is a small shop where you can buy hats and caps. You know, fun, guys, right? Fun stuff. The outside is themed like a log cabin, which, as we all know, is the exact and true way animals live in the wild. Kitty corner to the Briar Patch is the Hungry Bear Restaurant. Taking up an enormous footprint, the Hungry Bear is one of the only cool and shaded places to eat in the parks. It's also one of the most crowded places to eat in the parks. But trudging on, you have the Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh on your left, on your right. See, I confused my left and right when I did this. That is on your right, the entrance to Splash Mountain on your left. Well, you have the entrance to Pooh before Splash. The actual ride is way farther down the path than you know. If you look at the map or if you look like an aerial view, it's marked, here's the entrance, but the ride, the show building is way down here. It's actually like that overflow path. I feel like they were really expecting a lot of people to be waiting for Pooh and just to never really materialize. As we reach the end of our Critter Country tour, we have Pooh Corner down at the base of the cul-de-sac, I guess, for lack of a better term, which sells pins and merch. And then the exit of Splash, where you can buy your photo taken on the way down the flume. It's called Professor Barnaby Owl's Photographic Art Studio. Who is Professor Barnaby Owl? Does anybody know, by the way? What show is he from? What movie is he from?
No clue. Is it from The Rescuers?
Well, no, it's not. He was actually created specifically for Critter Country. He was a entirely made up character. He was the photographer on Splash Mountain. And he was actually in the ride at one point. He had an animatronic in the ride that was pulled, you know, in the early teens of 2000, like 2012 or something like that, for just whatever. He's just gone one day. And that's it. That's the space that we're dealing with today. That is Critter Country. So what would I do personally with it? I would revamp it. I wouldn't really change much. I would just retheme everything. But I would make it a home for the other weird characters in all of Disney lore to sort of come out. Not just Winnie the Pooh, right? Because Winnie the Pooh is, I don't know, Winnie the Pooh's just sort of blah. He's not really traditionally Disney, I guess, and he just sort of is like, doesn't excite me. Nothing excites me about Winnie the Pooh. a way to bring more people to the area would be to bring up some of these weird characters or these like sidekick characters like Hey Hey from Moana.
I love Hey Hey.
Miko from the Pocahontas, right? Jacques and Gus Gus. Baloo, even. Sven, for God's sakes. Ray from Princess and the Frog. I think that'd be cool. Doug. Aww. Doug the dog from Up. Those weird cats from Aristocats. You could bring all these people out, and I know there are suits of them. I've seen them all, not all of these people. They don't have a Hey Hey suit, but the weird cats I've seen. You know, I think Jacques and Gus Gus have, or maybe I'm thinking of the Rescuers mice. Anyway.
Gus Gus is fat. His shirt doesn't stay up on Cinderella. Yeah.
I know.
So cute.
I been there. But the hardest question to address here for me is how to deal with Splash Mountain. People love that ride system, which is an important thing to address here. I think the system is the star. You could theme that ride around literal dirt, and I would still ride it. But if you leave it as Princess and the Frog, you lose a big chunk of usable space to even have Critter Country be a thing anymore. Otherwise, you might as well just make it all part of New Orleans Square, which apparently was pitched as an idea before settling on Critter Country. They were going to make it like Dixieland.
Okay.
And they decided no, so they made it, you know, whatever.
Okay.
But you know what I mean? It's like if you can't have New Orleans Square extend that far up and then have this little tiny three quarters of a cul-de-sac for Critter Country, especially because the exit, you don't start in New Orleans Square and then exit in a different land. I think that would be too confusing for people. So we need to start revamping Splash Mountain. Now, I see it as sort of the Great Movie Ride meets Small World, which I don't like either of those two rides, but in the ride system of Splash Mountain, it becomes very different.
Okay.
It's a boat ride with little vignettes from different movies. Each movie features these smaller animal characters from different movies doing the scenes from their movies. And as you float along the little lazy river style of thing, the brand reinforcement becomes more solid. I see the beginning of the ride as a classic dark ride with black lights and projections and animatronics and all that. Then after the drop, you have all the critters in one scene together, hanging out and interacting with each other. Maybe Doug is chasing Miko. Sven is giving those weird cats from Aristocats a ride. Hey Hey is looking for food with those maybe two big googly eyes, you know, rolling around in the head. That kind of thing. I think if you as a finale showpiece, it is a lot like Splash Mountain is right now, but with the characters interacting as one in one timeline, I think that could be really cute and fun. Also, I think we're at a place with technology and budgetary concerns. I mean, Disney continues to rake money, and I feel like they can expand the budget a little bit more here and maybe be swapping some of these characters out from time to time.
Okay.
Keep it fresh, and the merch can be kept fresher. And then when you have different characters from these rides, those are maybe the characters that are going to be hanging out from time to time in that area. So if you want to do a meet and greet with Gus, you go to Critter Country.
Okay.
Right? If he's in the ride, he'll be out there. If he's not, maybe you put someone else in. Change it up a little bit.
Okay.
So we keep the drop, keep the lazy river type experience, and hype up several Disney films and characters all at the same time. Messy? Probably.
Yeah.
Effective?
A bit messy.
Yeah. Effective? Doubtful. Okay. With Splash Mountain updated, we now have a reason to have Critter Country become the de facto place for all abandoned and lesser known characters to appear. So, we've set our premise. Let's move on to the Hungry Bear. Obviously, we have to keep it as an eatery, and we have to keep the downstairs. It's cool, it's right by the water, and it has some of the best views in the park, honestly. The menu will be themed towards foods from the different characters that are now housed in the area. Hey Hey's drumsticks. Jacques and Gus Gus's French fries with cheese sauce.
Jeez, dude.
What?
Hey Hey's drumsticks?
Well, because Maui keeps calling him a drumstick.
Yeah, so you're eating Hey Hey?
Well, it's Hey Hey's drumsticks because we don't eat roosters.
Okay.
So, it,
oh,
you know.
Okay. It's just his wife.
Yeah, man. Why not?
Dang.
Jacques and Gus Gus's French fries with cheese sauce because I couldn't think of a better, more elegant name for that. You know, because they're French. Sven's carrot cake.
Not crepes.
No, not crepes or poutine or, you know, whatever. Sven's carrot cake.
That's cute.
Stuff like that. Nothing really changes. It's not going to be called the Hungry Bear anymore. It should be called something else. I forgot. But I did look. Side note, go to Google Earth and look at Disneyland Park on Google Earth. The images were taken in March when the park was closed. when the Jungle Cruise was drained.
Oh.
And so you go through and you can see the track in the Jungle Cruise. Not a whole lot because it's the canopies. It's overgrown, but you can see some of it. There's a lot of, there's cars like around the hub. It's pretty neat, man. It's kind of cool. But I tried to look at the Hungry Bear and figure out what to do with the space. And it's like a lowercase b. It just, there's nothing, you can't really, so you keep it. I mean, you know, what are you going to do? But change the food. Because right now, you look at the menu, it's literally hamburgers and like a barbecue thing. Yeah, like that's it. It's just nothing there.
It's so. Also so bad.
Yeah,
it is
not good.
No, but it is pretty cheap. It's like a cheeseburger is like $11, which I feel like is cheap for park food.
Yeah, and
I don't
it's
know.
Awful, though.
Yeah,
it's
probably.
Awful.
Yeah.
You can get an $11 burrito for so much.
Yeah, can you anymore? The Briar Patch still sells hats, but it's now called Hats for Humans. And the inside is little hats on display worn by some of the characters in the land, you know. That'd be kind of funny, I guess. Pooh Corner can honestly stay that way. Pooh has earned his spot in this land, and we're also going to keep Pooh's ride. Because that ride kind of slaps, dude. I really like Winnie the Pooh ride. It fits right in. If we're gonna have this be sort of the home for wayward animals and critters, we can't knock out, you know, five of probably the more famous, you know, critters in the area.
Agreed.
Just can't do it. The photographic art studio is now run by Scuttle from The Little Mermaid. It was his idea to document the human journey through the animal kingdom of Disneyland, and he has spent years assembling enough parts from the human world to build a camera. We put him in the ride, building a contraption of found objects, funny lenses, and various flotsam and jetsam, and use that as a housing for the actual ride camera when you're about to hit your hit the drop there. Now it's time for the canoes, the Davy Jones Explorer canoes or whatever they're called. This was one of the harder parts for me because they don't really belong in Critter Country at all right now. And nothing you do with regards to the canoes with changing Critter Country has anything to do with Critter Country. I mean, you think about it, you just bored in Critter Country, then you're in the Rivers of America.
Yep.
And then you're back into Critter Country. It's very, very weird. Any revamping of the canoes means revamping the Rivers of America. And now you're in a world of pain because you can't go, oh, well, let's put more Disney characters through the Rivers of America. But that's not the point of Rivers of America.
Yeah, no.
It's very strange. But it's such a cool thing. You can't get rid of it. So I feel like you have to move the canoes to Frontierland. They definitely fit way better in Frontierland. And maybe either they share a space with the Mark Twain dock. I don't know. There's actually a space right across from Big Thunder before the Mark Twain dock. You could sort of drop a canoe dock in there, shorten it up a little bit. I feel like you could do that. It would be very, very tricky with the way the boat works. But, you know, that's what I think. Drop it in there. Get it out of Critter Country. It doesn't fit there anyways. And last but not least, the Harbor Galley, which is, if you remember, it's like directly across from the exit of Haunted Mansion, basically. It's just right there. Mm-hmm. I would annex this into New Orleans Square, to be honest. I mean, the sailing ship Columbia isn't that far out of the range of the New Orleans theme, so I feel like they could Tiana it up a little bit, you know, maybe serve her beignets out there instead of wherever they serve them now, you know what I mean?
I agree with that.
So that's what I would do with Critter Country. I would change it up a little bit, bring in some more of these ancillary characters, and, you know, like that.
I think that's good.
Yeah, thanks.
I like that you didn't change a lot because it's very difficult to think of ways to change Critter Country. It is so small. The footprint is tiny.
This was really hard. I do apologize for this assignment.
It's kind of fun, though, to have to think outside the box, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. Bev.
Oh, no, I'm going to go next because this is somewhat hilarious.
All right.
Because my idea is absolutely not even close to yours. I need to preface this with two things. Number one, this idea is completely based off Splash Mountain being absorbed by New Orleans Square. So that now just becomes a addendum to New Orleans.
Okay. All right.
Also, I literally had no idea that Critter Country used to be like Native American land.
I didn't either. I thought
about 3 minutes ago when you read that, which is where my outburst stemmed from.
Got it. Okay. I always thought it was in Frontierland because that makes sense to me.
Yeah, I did too.
It doesn't make sense to go through Frontierland through New Orleans Square
But frontier is not the same as Native American.
Yeah, it is. But that's the frontier.
No, they're like hundreds of years apart.
No, they're not.
It's the
Pocahontas
was
the 1600s.
Yeah, well, the Pocahontas may have been the 1600s, but like the frontier land, like that's cowboy time. That's 1800s. That's 100% Indians, Native Americans. Same. I mean, and Native Americans have been here obviously for hundreds of years before us. Mm-hmm. So that it can definitely span. Well, like you said, 1600s through 1800s, early 1900s, there were still Indian wars and stuff like that being fought. You know, okay. The West was pushing the Indians into non-existence. Honestly, gotcha. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
So happy notes, guys. Happy fun stuff.
My idea for Critter Country would be to theme it as a Native American area.
All right.
I honestly had no clue. And I was like, I feel like this is a pretty good idea. Biscuit.
God. Okay. You know, I'm so glad I went first, too.
Oh, my God. I have myself on mute here, and I'm, like, swearing up a storm. I'm like, crap. How did I not know this? Okay, yeah. So my idea for Critter Country would be to theme it as a Native American area. If Disney felt the need to include IP, they could potentially use Pocahontas or Tiger Lily. But I personally think it would be better, and I would prefer to have that be more of a background focus. Not even really a focus. Maybe this can just be the area where you would go if you wanted to take a picture with Pocahontas or Tiger Lily. Like, this would be where their characters would hang.
Okay, got it.
Obviously not at the same time.
Okay.
That'd be weird.
Just a little bit, yeah.
I think it would be cool to have different areas showcasing true Native American culture. For example, actually hiring real Native American people who are knowledgeable in their culture to tell story, to have like an area set aside where they tell a story or a legend or something from their tribe that's based in truth. And in another area, you could have someone teaching like a basket weaving class.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
I love that idea.
I think that if this area was set up similarly to Hollywood Land, you know how they have like Turtle Talk with Crush, and then you can go over here and learn to draw. Like, I think that would work out well.
I like it.
And since the canoe boat ride is already part of Critter Country, I think it would fit well with this theming. I don't think it really needs to change much. Mm-hmm. What I would change, however, is as you're going around, you see the fake animatronic natives on the hillside. I'd say replace them with actors actually doing traditional things, maybe building something or making a fire. I don't know, but just doing real stuff. So it's like a real experience. At some of the kiosks, I think it should just be like really authentic. So the kiosks, there's no churros in this land.
Hated it. Next.
Hated it. You could get fresh fruit, dried meats.
So you can still so you're basically at like Harris Ranch.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. And I actually just, I didn't remember that I had typed this out, but it's funny. Set that crappy Hungry Bear restaurant on fire.
How dare you?
And replace it with a restaurant that focuses on Native American fare.
I've never eaten there. First of all, Native American fare is like acorns, like ground up and stuff.
I actually did a Google search because I was like, is that a thing? No, it's absolutely a thing.
Like what? What's Native American fare?
Well, I didn't like.
I'm not doubting you. I generally don't know.
I know what it is because it's part of mine too. So it's soups and stews and cornbread.
Yes. Yep. And lots of corn. Right. And also, you have eaten there because you were like, we should try this place out for the show. And we all went together and it was awful.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah. You blocked it out because it was trash. As far as Winnie the Pooh goes, now I know a lot of people love that ride for nostalgic reasons. And as someone who hates it when Disney robs me of my nostalgia, I struggled with this one. I feel almost everyone, apparently, but Jason, ride this ride generally because it is almost always a walk-on. It's not what one would call a people eater, if you will.
No, it's not a people eater for sure, but it could be. if it, you know, more people were willing to be eaten.
Right. Now, part of me kept wanting to say, make this a Brother Bear themed ride. But okay. I think you'd have the same issue where nobody cares enough about that IP to actually ride it.
No.
Yeah. So the only other idea I could come up with was to tear Winnie the Pooh down completely and replace it with a non-IP themed wooden roller coaster.
Like a Wild Mouse coaster or something? Like a Zigzaggy John or?
Like the Grizzly.
Like the Grizzly.
Oh, my God.
Wow. You're going ham on this.
Okay. I mean, there's enough room back there. You could do it.
Yeah, do it. Tear that thing down. Make it a thrill ride.
Nice.
And that's where I landed. That's Native American land, which apparently already existed.
Sure
but
did.
Not with a roller Mart. Coaster.
But not with a roller coaster.
Well, I mean, I was like, there's no real IP that I think could fit well there. So why not just make it something fun?
I
and
like
wooden,
it.
Because
wood is in. Yeah, absolutely.
That's it.
All right. Taryn, you want to go next?
Sure.
All right.
I'll clap for myself. It's fine, guys.
Good job, Bev. All right. So Disneyland has Fantasyland, Frontierland, Adventureland, Tomorrowland, et cetera, et cetera. And while one could argue that the entire park is in some ways a representation of the past, I've decided to retheme Critter Country to Yesterland. Now, Yesterland will be devoted to the distant past using existing IP. This should be a relatively easy overhaul since I'll be using all of the existing structures, changing only the exteriors and the overall themes. Think lipstick on a pig. Now, first up, I will not be changing the new Splash Mountain theme. I think the inclusion of Princess and the Frog is good. I think it makes sense with the ride. I am, however, switching the entrance and the exit of the attraction. So the entrance is now going to be located before the bridge, right at near the exit of Haunted Mansion. And this move is going to technically move Splash Mountain into New Orleans, and it's going to become a New Orleans attraction.
Freaking brilliant.
Which to me makes more sense for the theming of the ride. And then to help with the immersion into the new land, music is going to play a big portion of this, especially on that bridge. So, you know, you have your New Orleans themed music and then maybe it kind of like, you know, the volume lowers slightly and then it starts to rise back up as you're like partway through the bridge. You know, you hear the Splash Mountain thing, the boat go down, you hear the water splash, and then the music starts rising back up to bring you now into Yesterland. That's sort of your mental change into a new land. Now, that said, the Yesterland side of the mountain is going to be very carefully rethemed to resemble Mount Olympus. And this is because in that sort of weird hollow area of Critter Country where right now you could meet Santa during the holidays, this is going to now be a Hercules and Meg meet and greet. And we're going to change the whole look of this area to include columns that resemble the Parthenon. There's going to be a Goodies of Greece cart that will sell traditional baklava, lokomades, which are the little honey balls, and an assortment of Greek cookies. So next up, I'm going to totally retheme the Winnie the Pooh ride.
Oh, man. Now my boy Pooh, you guys are doing my boy this way.
I know. I really like this ride, but it has no place in Yesterland. So instead, this is going to become Mulan's Imperial Adventure. And the entrance of this ride and the queue line will be refurbished to look like you're walking past Mulan's village. The foliage is going to be switched out from the current woodsy, foresty plants to a more traditional Chinese look with, you know, like small ponds, lots of like floaty plants and things like that, and willowy trees. This dark ride is going to follow the story of Mulan. Very much like the movie, showing her taking her father's place in the army, the battle on the mountain pass, and her decision to risk her own life and her secret identity for the greater good of China, ending with the return home to her family. Near the exit of this attraction, where the Pooh Corner Candy Store currently resides, there will instead be Mushu's Fortune Cookie Factory, where you can buy all sorts of fancy and fun fortune cookies, as well as other Chinese treats like bubble tea, red bean cakes, and of course, a selection of traditional Chinese teas.
All right.
So now over to Davy Crockett's canoes.
Yes.
Now, I love the canoes. And I think it's such a unique experience that I would never get rid of this ride. And I struggled even retheming it because Davy Crockett is so entrenched with the original Disneyland. But oh well. So these canoes are now going to be Pocahontas Powhatan canoes. Pocahontas' Powhatan canoes. And so aside from the name, there's not going to be any retheming here because the attraction's fine as it is. And so finally, as you may have guessed it, I will also be totally overhauling the Hungry Bear Terrible Awful restaurant. Oh, man. And it's now going to become the Hungry World restaurant. And it's going to be decked out in bright colors with a large selection of international flags as the primary decor. Rather than chicken sandwiches and cheeseburgers, you're going to now have international options. You're going to be able to find Greek offerings like gyros and chicken souvlaki and a hummus platter, Chinese food with rice or noodle bowl options, and finally local delicacies of indigenous people including soups and stews served with cornbread.
Wow, you stole Bev's idea. That's cool.
Not all of
it. I love it.
Just kidding, guys.
And that is Yesterland.
All right, very good. All right, Terrence, take us home, buddy.
All right. Let me jump up on this mic. All right, so my first thought was to make Critter Country into IP land and have every Disney-owned IP thrown in there, even though none of them match with each other. And then I scrapped that idea.
Oh, okay.
So my second idea was to turn Critter Country into a bayou area that would tie into the Princess and the Frog retheming as Splash Mountain. Hungry Bear would turn into Tiana's place, and it would be a beautiful area with music by Randy Newman playing the entire time you're walking through there.
I love it.
But I had a bit of a problem with this because I don't really care about this movie. Like, seriously, retheming the ride to a movie that isn't even in the top 100 highest grossing Disney animated films of all time makes no sense to me, and I'm not going to expand upon that. So this is what I landed on. I chose to retheme the area to a movie that is at least one of the 30 highest grossing animated movies of all time. It's also a cultural juggernaut. And while I think that any mention of one of the main characters from this movie within the parks is completely unnecessary, seeing that this person is a new Kurt Russell of Disney, I would suggest retheming Critter Country to Motunui, the island from Moana.
I'm liking this.
So nothing in the area stays the way it is today. It's a retheming. We're not going to keep anything the way it is today. So the entrance for Splash Mountain, much like what Taryn said, it's going to be moved, but I'm not going to move it closer to the mansion. I'm going to move it on the other side of the train tracks. So before you go underneath the train tracks, immediately after you walk under the train tracks, you're whisked into the tropical island of Motunui. The right side of Splash Mountain is now completely hidden from within the area by large fronds and coconut trees. You'll be greeted by Polynesian music, somewhat similar to what you would see at the Tiki Room, but close to what you would actually hear on the island. The far end of the area, which would be basically butting up against the back fence and also where Splash Mountain is, the end of the area would feature a large volcano. And on that volcano will be an Easter egg of the two stars from the short movie Lava that happens right before Moana. Also, all the stores now will be designed to look like huts from the movie. Pooh's Corner, which is the store back there, become Tala, which Tala was the name of the grandmother, Tala's shop, featuring jewelry from the movie, as well as plushes of sea animals native to the area. The shop will also do face and body temporary tattoos like the ones that you would find in the movie.
Hmm. I like that.
Tala's ABC store?
Tala's, basically. There's like eight of them in this area.
Yeah, for sure. One down there, man.
Right. No, that one right there. No, so Winnie the Pooh, that ride turns into Journey to Lolotai, or the Realm of Monsters, starring Tamatoa. The ride begins with you loading into your shiny shell and following Moana and Maui as they begin their journey into the deep. Using projection mapping and onboard hydraulics, you'll also feel the sensation of falling into the deep with Maui and Moana. The remainder of the ride is various scenes and fighting, an interaction with Tamatoa with monsters that come at you. So think Mermaid meets Haunted Mansion. Before reversing the falling sequence by being blasted out of the deep by an underwater volcano. The canoes are difficult, but I'm going to incorporate the canoes in this. The canoes will take you around half of the rivers of America. It'll take you the full way, but half of the ride will be themed to Moana, and it will be specifically Moana fighting going to Tafiti's Island and fighting Taka. So you are going to be on a boat. The person who is your guide will either be themed as Moana or themed as Maui, and they will take you onto this journey. And on this journey, you will see multiple scenes and animatronics like what you would see when they were fighting Taka. But when you round the corner to go into Frontierland at the end of this, you are seeing Taka, who is now a beautiful island. The upper level of the Hungry Bear restaurant will now be an area for storytelling and authentic rug weaving, and the rugs will be purchasable. And the lower... And the lower area will be a new restaurant called Tui's and Sina's. That was Moana's parents' name. Here are some of the menu items. There's a chicken BLT, and if you want a vegetarian, it's called Hold the Hey Hey and Pua. There's the Heart of Tafiti Cupcakes, Island Punch, and pork, pineapple, and bell pepper skewers, as well as a Kakamora pineapple drinks and a coconut shell decorated like the pirates from the movie, the little coconut pirates from Moana. There will also be Easter eggs within these cups, just like it is in the movie, where it will not only be Baymax thrown in every once in a while, but things characters like Wally.
Wait, Baymax is in the movie?
Yes. If you look closely, when they first get onto the boat, it's a Baymax face on one of the coconuts.
I did not know that.
Yeah. But some of the cups will be Wally. Some of the cups will be Mickey. So it'll be multiple things from Disneyland. But you cannot pick which one you get because I don't want people buying 40 of them and selling them all on eBay. Yeah.
Good point.
So nighttime in the area is going to be extra fun when the tiki torches throughout the area are lit. And there will be Polynesian dancing, and the lava volcano at the far end will erupt nightly. There will also be pre-purchased tickets to a luau that will happen every March 26th for Prince Kuhio Day, which celebrates the birth of Prince Jonah Kuhio, who was the heir to the throne of Hawaii. It was actually a Hawaiian state holiday, and we're going to incorporate that into the area as well. That is my area dedicated to Moana. I am done.
I like it.
Very good, Terrence.
I would definitely go to Montanui. I like it.
Absolutely. All right. Well, look, guys, what do you think? I don't really, you know what? I think we all won today. I think we all won. You know what I mean?
Wow. In the past, present, and future. Very nice.
Thanks, man. There's a lot of Disney news to cover, guys. I want to try to run through it as much as possible. Because it's a long show.
Yeah.
As they are getting, honestly. They seem to be getting a lot longer these days, which is good. Let's see. I feel like the big news, Disneyland passes are back.
Yes. Huge news.
Huge news, my friends. The program is called Magic Keys, I guess, or something like that. And they're set to go on sale August 25th. The main amendment is visitors must now make reservations prior to visiting Disneyland Park and California Adventure Park. According to the Disneyland website, key holders, which is apparently what you're called when you're not AP, you're a key holder.
Stupid.
Can make the theme park reservations for ongoing visits, hold more than one theme park reservation at a time for different dates, save up to 15% on select dining and 20% on select merchandise. The tier system includes the top tier is $13.99. It's called the Dream Key with no blockout dates. $949 is called Believe, and it has 48 blockout dates. $649 Enchant, that has 149 blockout dates. And $399 Imagine, and that's 218 blockout dates. Each key features a variety of admission days, pricing options, and savings on food and merchandise. If you obtain a magic key within the first 66 days, you'll receive a special welcome package along with a pin, a button, a magnet, and more, they say. Oh, I don't know. And then starting September 1st, members will also get a limited time offer to experience the Starcade in Tomorrowland. And so, I mean, that's cool, I guess. My main problem, first of all, is the naming scheme. The key, instantly, I thought of Children's Fairyland. If you've never been to Children's Fairyland, it's like a very, very small theme park for kids. Mm-hmm. But their whole shtick is you have a magic key that you stick in this box and turn, and it tells you a story of what you're looking at.
Yeah.
And immediately thought of that, but because I'm a Bay Area boy, I guess. Yeah. But then also, like, this naming scheme is literally, literally the thing that we make fun of Disney the most on this, is their lack of imagination, no pun intended, when it comes to dumb stuff like Dream Key, Believe. It's just, they just, they have 10 words that they put into a hat, and they pull it out, whatever they need to name, a new parade, a new cavalcade, a new fireworks display, or apparently annual pass replacement.
Yeah. No.
Can I play devil's advocate for a
second? Sure, man. Go for it.
Okay. So I think that most people who are huge Disneyland fans love this. I think they will absolutely love the names. And it really does fall in line with what they're doing with the cruises as well, because it's like the Disney Wonder, the Disney Dream, the Disney this and that. And so I think they found something that kind of works, and they're sticking to it. Now, I don't care. They could call it the Disney Take Your Money Pass. It doesn't matter. It won't change the fact that I want it. But I do understand what you're saying, though.
I mean, you're sort of making my point there also with the cruise thing. And it's, you know, it's not even those. It's like I said, it's parades and stuff, too. The shows are sort of falling in line with that naming scheme. And I just think it's very, for a company like Disney, it's very basic. And it's like, and also, it's, we've heard all this stuff before. The Dream of Wishes parade or whatever it was called, right? Like, here's this go on the wish ship. Now we have the Dream Key or the Believe Key. It's a little too, whatever. I don't know. I don't like it. It's weird to me.
Could it be a throwback, though? I mean, because one of the most famous Disney songs of all time is a wish is a dream your heart makes. And so it could also be an homage to kind of what helped Disney become Disneyland.
That's what I think it is. And especially when you throw in Imagine and Believe, I think it would be cool if they had named one thing that and that's it. Yeah. But it's taking that naming scheme and doing it over several different areas sort of just makes it like not disingenuous, but just like I've heard this. It's not as cool anymore. But
I feel you.
Whatever. So there's a website. I forget the website, but they charted out what you get now versus what you got with the annual passes, which I find sort of interesting. Like the Dream. You got 365. You get 365 days, so no blackout days for $13.99, and you can make 6 park reservations at a time, whatever that is. The Signature Plus, which was the highest Disneyland annual pass, you got 365 days at $14.49. So it actually ends up being a little bit cheaper, but obviously there's no park reservation fees, right? For the
Do you mean?
Because in the annual pass, you didn't have to make park reservations, but now you do.
But those don't cost money.
No. Did I say money?
You said fees.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. For the Believe key, you get 317 days at $9.49 with a 50% parking discount.
Which I think is actually a pretty good deal.
That's not bad, right? For the old Signature Disneyland annual pass, you got 350 days available, but at $11.99, and parking was included. So, okay. And you used to get a 20% discount on merch and 15% discount on dining. With the Believe key, you get 10% merch and 10% dining. 50% discount. So it's cheaper, but you're definitely getting less than you were with the Signature, you know, pass. If you get all the way to the SoCal Select, which was, you know, really only for obviously SoCal residents, they got 170 days to go in at $4.19. If you do the Imagine key, you get 147 days at $3.99, and you can only hold 2 park reservations at a time, which I guess I don't really understand. You can't just plan your trip for like 8 months in advance, because what maybe I didn't address is if you want to go into DCA, you have to have a reservation for that day for DCA. It totally removes the spontaneity of going, of park hopping. You have to have a park reservation for both parks to enter both, for each park separate. That's what I'm getting from this. Please correct me if I'm wrong in the chat or whatever, but that's what I'm reading, is that you need two separate park reservations to get into both parks in one day.
I'm pretty sure that I read somewhere that there's an upgrade where you don't, because it allows park hopping after 1 o'clock. And so I think I read that somewhere where you can add it so that you can go to the same park on the same day. But the question I had, especially with the SoCal, or with like the top of the line one, if you can hold six at a time, you think of Jeff that we interviewed who went to Disneyland 5,000 days in a row or whatever like that.
Yeah.
So if he books 6 days in a row, at the end of the first day, can he book for the day after the sixth day and just keep going every single day after that?
I would think so.
Yeah, and then also we don't know how long these reservations are even going to last. Like how long? I don't know if Disney's going to go to a permanent reservation system.
I think this is a permanent situation because I think that's how they're. I think this is their shot in the dark at crowd control.
Yeah. I mean, I would guess it's at least through next year.
But I don't see why, because it's crowd control for now, but they don't actually care about crowd control, I don't think. Because if the reservation system was to keep less people in the park or to have a better understanding of how many people are there and then keep less people there, they're making less money. They don't want to do that. So I just don't really – after COVID is a thing of the past, hopefully – question mark send.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that that it is just a thing that they're doing now so that they can kind of regulate everything now, but I don't see why they would need to regulate it past this.
Go ahead, Bev. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I think what they're doing is we've read or they've said before speculated they don't make money off of annual pass holders. So I think by limiting the amount of days that you can reserve to be there, and I bet you can't. I bet you have to go your 6 days, and then after the sixth day you can add on. I think they're trying to make it more difficult for SoCal people, for example, to just show up every day and take up space but not spend money.
Yeah.
I think they're trying to create an atmosphere where they're making more money, essentially.
So do you think there
are... I guarantee you there will be a way to pay to add on extra days at some point.
I agree. I mean, I think Terrence is right. There is a thing where you can pay. And I thought it was on the chart. I just closed it. It was like $100 or $200 to park hop.
Mm-hmm. So when you have you can have six reservations at a time. Is that only 3 days because you have to reserve each park?
It's up to you, I guess. It sounds like.
Yeah.
But what I don't like and what there's, you know, it's sort of like a common thread online. It's like it does take away that spontaneity. It takes away that fun for me anyway of like, I mean, park hopping. Let's just pop over to DCA. Let's see what's going on. Let's go get a beer.
Let's go to Carthay.
Yeah, let's go back. You can't do that anymore. But on the other hand of that thing, that's probably sounds more like SoCal people. I mean, we would go because we're like, well, we're here for 4 days, so we're just going to go everywhere. But if you know you're going down for vacation for 4 days, you're just going to get park reservations, you know, for wherever you want to go. And you plan it out a lot like you have to do with Disney World, is figure out what you're doing and are you going to be park hopping or not. So maybe it's not that big of a deal.
You can still go in and out of the park. Like, so you
I would imagine, yeah.
If you have reservations for both, you can then park hop like we used to do.
I think so. Yeah, you're not like stuck there. But I do think it's after a certain time. I don't know. These are the things. We'll find out on the 25th.
Very confusing.
But yeah, it's a little bit weird, man, for sure. Speaking of, go ahead, Beb. Did you have something else to say?
I was just going to not even really elaborate, but just say like, I just think that, as you said, there's a $200 or whatever upgrade fee to park hop. I think we're going to see more of this. I think this is the model that Disney is moving towards, and they've slowly sort of done that. Like, you have to pay for a Magic Band now. They used to give you that for free. You have to pay. I lost it. But aren't they moving to like a super magic fast pass thing that you have to pay for?
They're testing that in Disney World, Paris.
There was Max Pass, which is another thing. Like, I think we're going to see more and more of this, and I think as Disney people, we just have to be like, all right.
Either you're in or you're out.
Either you're in or out. Yeah, for sure.
I can grit my teeth and I can complain and I can just be really angry about it, or I can just be like, okay, well, this is something that I enjoy and
yeah,
I just got to roll with it.
Yeah. Yeah. If I can afford it, I'll do it. And, you know, the chat's talking about, you know, it's crowd control and staffing and whatever. And, like, I get all of that, but it also, I think, means less jobs. If you have less people in the park, you know how many people to bring on shift that day. It's a cost-cutting savings that way as well, because I don't really think that there was a whole staffing issue if the park was too crowded. There was never really an issue. For me, the issue was always there's just too many damn people mm-hmm. in the walkways. And you know, like you were saying earlier, Bev, a large part of that was the SoCal people that would just go and hang out.
In the afternoon after work.
So you just sort of like get rid of that crowd. You make them pay for it, but you give other people a chance to take up that room first if they're planning on going. So I think it'll be a different mix of SoCal people, and we'll see what happens. I don't know.
What I like is that interesting. They are still letting you pay monthly.
Yeah, that is good. That is good.
Are any of those passes specifically sold to only SoCal residents?
Not that I can tell, no. So there is no longer a SoCal specific thing.
And it used to be you had to live in California to do the monthly payment, and now anyone can.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Oh,
so
really?
Actually, it is. So the Imagine Key, it says only available for Southern California residents living in zip codes 90,000 to 93599.
Interesting.
So if you live anywhere past 93599, I'm sure that's probably Bakersfield or something like that.
Right.
But you can't get that pass.
Damn. Oh.
And that's the you can reserve two theme park.
Okay.
Yeah. So I would almost be willing to bet money that you cannot just tack on another day every day. You have to go through that reservation, and then once that is completed,
then you do it again.
You can then.
Yeah, which makes sense. I mean, that makes sense. Speaking of more money being spent, the pricing was announced for the Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser at Disney World. Have you guys seen any of this pricing yet?
I logged into my account. I saw that it was being advertised, but I didn't I didn't check. But
bruh. Let's go.
I'm so curious.
It's oh my god. So for two guests. Okay, so remember this is two nights. Okay, and you get. Let me read the fine print here. The super print. You looking fine today? You are looking fine. Package includes entry to Disney's Hollywood Studios for one day on day two of your experience. Interesting. So it sounds like your first day of experience is just in the windowless hotel, and the day two is at Batu or whatever. You get includes two breakfasts, two lunches, and two dinner meals per guest, with gratuity included for dinners, and one quick service meal consisting of one entree or one non-alcoholic beverage. So you get food, which is cool. Okay, keep that in mind. Okay. So two guests per cabin. Okay, so Terrence, if you and I were to go, just ourselves, it would be $1,209 per guest per night. So that is $4,809 in total for 2 days, one day in the park, and then basically meals. Yes, Beverly, go ahead. I see you have a question.
I'll use myself and your family as an example, but we are a family of three.
Okay.
So does that mean we pay for a separate room for our child?
I think no. I think there are three guest cabins. So the next pricing is three guests per cabin.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
That's okay. Which is two adults and one child.
Okay.
What's that pricing? $889 per guest per night, or a total of $5,299.
Get out of here.
Three adults, one child. So maybe I don't understand your circumstances at that level, but that's beyond me.
Maybe you have an older kid who's 18?
Yeah, maybe we'll do that. Well, also, a child is under 10. Oh, well, don't forget. I don't know. right? So at 10 and up, you're an adult in Disney's eyes. So this could be, if you have an 11-year-old and a 9-year-old, this could still work for you because he's an adult. Four guests per cabin, $749 a night or $5,999.
No.
That is $6,000 for for 48 hours.
Yeah.
I don't care. Give me all the meals you want. That is, for me,
my
can't do
entire vacation to Disney World.
Yep.
Is flights included on property is less than half of that.
Yeah. No, you could definitely stay for 5 days at the Walt Disney World Resort on property at one of the fancy ass hotels, go to a fancy dinner, get your tea with your champagne.
Get your drink on.
Get your drink on all day long, every day, for the same amount of money that you're spending for 48 hours and a half day at the park.
And one of 24 of those are in a windowless place.
Yeah.
And blue milk. Blue milk with every meal while you're on the thing.
It's a, look, man, I'm not going to lie. It's a lot. That's a lot of money. I was definitely not expecting that pricing. I was definitely not. I mean, you know what? Because the friggin' Californian Grand Hotel Casino and Resort or whatever it is.
It's about six a night.
Yeah, it's about $556 a night. And by the way, someone mentioned like this is like low tier standard pricing. This is not even park influx pricing. Right? This is not hey, there's a lot of people here. We're gonna raise the prices on you for now. It's 400 guests at a time. So you run through the thing or whatever. It's like I couldn't imagine. I mean, for us, the Grand California is too much to spend because it's not worth it because you're in the park the whole time. But here, it is the park, right. So I guess it's different. But, like, I would expect maybe a little bit more than the Grand California, but not that much. That is wild. And I know people are going to be very excited to spend it, and they're happy to spend it. And I say God bless you. But this sort of prices out. I mean, we talk about the parks being priced out of normal people all the time, and it gets higher and higher.
Yeah.
This is, you're pricing out a very, very good portion of Star Wars fans who are dying for this. And they go, I can't do it. And I would much rather these people who, if you're saving up for a year to go to this thing, then you shouldn't be spending $6,000 on a 2-day vacation. I mean, it seems stupid to say, but like, I feel like you could take
that. Go to Santorini.
Go to Santorini. Yeah, don't fall off the wall.
And part of me is like, man, this has to be an amazing experience. Like for them to like that, some people sat in a room around a table and they were like, yeah, that's a fair price for what we're offering. I mean, yes, it's Disney. So it's inflated because they're like, oh yeah, we can get that. But this is insane. So
yeah.
Look, if there's anybody from Disney and you want a look, I don't even care if I like it. I will give it a glowing review. If you want to send us, send our team as bloggers.
Right.
Yeah. There you go.
We're on it. Glowing, glorious. It's that. Look, I'll tell you now, it's fantastic.
Yeah, already. We already love it.
Well, and also, like, who is ever going to do this twice? Like, I'll go to the Disneyland Hotel as many times as I can afford it. Sorry. Who is ever going to go to do this experience more than once? Even if you're crazy enough to do it the first time, you're not going to do it a second time.
Yeah, well, so here's the thing about that. I think what they're going to be doing, at least I hope this is what they do, is they're going to be, updating storylines and refreshing storylines and stuff like that. So because I think they would be remiss in their duties of making money to, which is, fine. It's capitalism, is what we do. To just do what you're locked into one storyline for the year. And like, that's it. Cause then you're right. There is no repeatability.
Yeah.
Right.
But at least if, and I would hope that, I mean, look, we also have live actors walking around doing this kind of stuff, right? We have all of these little intricate parts that we don't know. I guarantee you that a lot of this goes to like staff storytelling. So they're writing storylines or what's happening on this weekend or whatever. Maybe they change them out every quarter or something like that. Who knows?
Yeah.
Then you have all these actors that need to stay in character that, that you would have as like hotel staff normally, I guess, but I would even imagine probably more. And you have hotel staff. So yeah. I guess, I mean, I, you know, some of it, but like here, you go like for two people, 48.
It's 6K to LARP. Are you serious, dude?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. 100%. So you got 48 and that's two. So if it's 400, that's times 200. So in a weekend, you're making $960,000 if you have the hotel full of two guests per cabin.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just literally printing money. Like you have to switch the money press off when you leave.
Like I don't even want to
get as toilet paper.
I don't even want to go to dinner theater for free, let alone paying $6,000 for it. Like,
is it 400 rooms?
I'm out.
Well, yes. What's going to happen? The guys from the Supreme Resort will go. They'll split a room, and then they'll write a blog about how it was, and we'll go from there.
Are they going to just expense it?
Yeah.
Okay. Good luck.
Yeah, we got that.
I mean, part of me would like, let's go in halvesies or whatever, because that, I mean, it is a lot to spend on a family. It's a lot for a family. That's $6,000. That's a ton of cash, dude.
I'd be shocked if any actual families go. This is just going to be adult men.
No, this is going to be tons. There's going to be tons of people.
It's going to be a hotel of adult men.
No, there's going to be a lot of families because I think a lot of dads are going to be and moms are going to be very excited to share this with their family.
No one loves their kids that much for $6,000. Sorry.
I mean, yeah, that's probably true.
Well, and also you have to remember, like, if I took Abby's almost 10, if I took her to this, she'd be like, this was cool for the first hour. We're stuck here for 48. I'm at Disney World. Like, I would literally rather be doing anything else.
Yeah.
What's interesting is they have like a grand captain suite, which sleeps 8 people. So is that
only $16,000 right? A night?
It's like, what is that? What does that even mean? So I'm trying to like figure out how many rooms this thing has. Does the chat know? Because I just want to know how much they're making off rip. And this is also not including travel. You get your airline, right? You travel to and from the airport. And then where do you go after? You're not going to fly across the country for 2 nights. You're going to stay in the park. So you got tickets to the park after that. Transfer to another hotel.
This is a ticket to one park for 1 day. This is not the remainder of your trip, which there are three additional parks that you're going to want to go to.
For sure. And I will say, like, looking at the renderings and stuff, it looks cool. It looks like a very, very cool thing. There's like a lot of like lightsaber training thing, and it looks to be very, very immersive, game changing in the industry. I'm just have a lot of sticker shock. A lot of sticker shock. And I really don't understand why you can't just parse it out for like 1 to 2 days. You can go 1 day, half a day doing that thing, like go on a nice jaunt around the galaxy. And then you come back. And so you can still do some of that stuff at a reduced rate, but you got to be out by 8 or whatever.
Well, so my question
that's complicated.
Is it like a cruise where all 400 rooms are going to leave at the same time? Or
yes.
Like,
no, it's yes.
And then they clean the whole hotel and then, you know, everybody else comes back in?
I say yes very confidently. I don't know. I think so because of the storylines, because you're in there for 2 days with a specific storyline.
And so then you're with all these weird ass people that you don't know. I don't know. I'm not into it. I was a theater kid. And I'm not into having to play a part like that.
I couldn't imagine. Can you imagine being the actors on this thing, dude?
Well, I was just talking about being the audience members. Like, true. When they come and talk to you, like I don't even like walking down DCA, like the main
and the weird
thing.
Lady with the puppet,
yes, the
dog
stupid
puppet.
Lady with the thing, and they try and talk to you, or the policeman, and I'm like, just go straight ahead. Don't make eye contact. Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk to you. You're a character. I don't even know who you are. You're just a human. Like, just don't. That's all.
So I've recently started watching Westworld.
Oh yeah.
And look. Season one was great, but I won't even get into that. The rest of it. But I feel like this is kind of trying to be the same thing where it's completely immersive and you become part of it, but also not as cool.
It's hard for me to imagine people really caring in the moment. I think less people will care than Disney thinks. That's my bet. That's my guess. There's no way to ever tell. I'm just a cynic. I hope it works, and I hope the people who go love it.
Well, and that's the thing.
Same.
It's going to be amazing. Right. I just can't believe it's so expensive.
We'll wait in 6 months and see what happens. And because you know, if they're not getting the bookings they need, their prices are going to come down.
Yeah, for sure.
But anyway, that's that about that. Before we leave, we have one more quick news story. I didn't know this. I learned this today. On July 30th, the Walt Disney Company gave its U.S.-based salaried and non-union hourly employees 60 days to get vaccinated against COVID.
Wow.
They are making it mandatory. Quote, at the Walt Disney Company, the safety and well-being of our employees during the pandemic has been and continues to be a top priority. Walmart apparently is requiring all its employees at its headquarters and certain employees who travel the U.S. to get vaccinated. But that's their headquarters. I don't know why not all their stores.
I thought it was all of their stores.
I don't know. I mean, it just says at their headquarters in this. Disney employees who are still working from home will be required to submit proof of vaccination before they return to offices and other work sites, including theme parks. Disney's mandate applies to non-union employees, but the company is discussing options with union representatives.
Hmm. Interesting.
But yeah, I thought that was really interesting. So more and more companies are mandating. So, and I think that's good, personally. All right, we are done. Right?
That's it? Show.
Yeah.
It was a good show.
It was a good show, man. Did I just close my thing? No, I didn't. Okay. Time for the fact of the show. The Main Street vehicles, when they were being created, Walt said they needed to look like authentic 1900s era cars, but also needed to be easily maintained. So Bob Gurr, resident genius, designed them to be just that. One car, the yellow Tonneau, T-O-N-N-E-A-U, anyway, which has a U-shaped bench seat, that one we've all seen from time to time, has the rear end of a Jeep, a front end of the Model A, and a steering column from a 1950 Imperial, and brakes from a 1952 Mercury.
It's like that Johnny Cash song.
That's right. It's a 49, 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, exactly. 56, 57, 58, 59 automobile. Yeah, apparently he just cobbled all these together, and I just thought this was really funny. It's like has like four or five like parts, and they're easily maintainable at that point because this was the mid-50s. You can get all these parts, but you can try to replace a pump on a 1910, like whatever. No, bro. Not going to happen.
Gosh, the expense alone.
Yeah, no. All right, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. I really appreciate it. Thank you to Lee from Grease and Disney. You can go check him out as well. Sign that petition, friends. I'm telling you. Do one thing. I don't know, whatever. Anyway, thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you for you guys for all your hard work on the show. I think it was great. Everyone did good, even me. And don't forget to ask for the 21st Amendment beers wherever you find good craft beer, like in and around DCA. All right, we'll see you guys in the parks next time. Or something. I don't know. Some sign-off. Catchy sign-off. Happens now. Oh, I did forget to tell you. I forgot. Hold on.
We're going to do the whole show again.
We're going to do the whole... I didn't record any of it. I'm going to play... Oh, I'm going to play 3 to 4 minutes of Pyramid Eye of the Ears.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
I'm going to do that right now. So if you guys want to stay on, you can listen to it. All right. We'll do it right now. Shut up, Trumpy. No one cares. All right. Here we go. Cars takes place on Earth. This is pretty much a given based on the countless references to real Earth places, hobbies, buildings, and the use of English, both in speech and in the written word. But what era of Earth are we talking about? At what point did humans leave the planet and then the cars took over? Or, if you want to jump right into the whole sci-fi aspect of these theories, which we'll get into later, which alternate Earth timeline are we on? Do the vehicular inhabitants of this alt-Earth share the same history as human beings? Well, some people think so. Take Sarge, for example. Now, Sarge is a World War II-style Jeep who has flashbacks from his days in the military. And already we have our first thought point. The car military, an army made of and ran by vehicles. Now, this isn't so much a conspiracy theory as it is just a total mind bender, because not only is this just assumed by the viewer, it implies there are more car armies in other countries than just ours. So that means, of course, these cars were in a war, because there's no military without a war or conflict, and these cars fought one another, killed one another, which makes me wonder about how the cars deal with conflicts anyways. I mean, there had to be a long-term struggle for something, right? Resources, borders, maybe even an argument over, I don't know, drum versus caliper braking systems in order for one country to create a military. And what went down for the respective militaries to be deployed? I mean, at one point, Sarge remembers the Battle of the Bulge, which was one of the last battles of World War II the Allies fought against the Germans. This lends credence to the Carniverse, which is my universe, you know, word that I just made up, to the Carniverse paralleling our own timeline. If that's true, and if the car allies fought car Germans in World War II, does that mean there were car Nazis? Just what did car Nazis stand for or against? Did the Hitler car also do watercolors? Did he also have syphilis and a drug problem? An entire country of cars who want to destroy other cars based on what kind of what oil they used? I don't know. It's confusing to me. Addressing the actual conflict, how did the cars shoot guns at each other? Are the guns anthropomorphic as well, or is it just the cars? If there are army jeeps like Sarge, it stands to reason there are other wartime vehicles like tanks and bombers and motorcycles and all that kind of stuff. And the thing about wartime vehicles like tanks or the jeep is that they are made for the rigors of the terrain of the battlefield. They're invented specifically for one purpose. And if we are, again, assuming the citizens of Cars Land have mirrored our own personal histories and technological timelines, this means that Sarge was made. He was created. And if there is a car lab creating cars and whatnot, who runs it? We'll get to that a little bit later. All right, well, anyway, there's a little bit left, but that's it. I need help. I'm broken.
That's good. I think it's good.
That was, like, Terrence and I are over here having, like, a conversation about it, like, a real, like, legitimate conversation about what you're saying.
Good.
It was, like, that was pretty interesting.
All right, great. All right, well, oh, shoot, wrong one. Stupid. Come here. There you go. Hey, there we go. Let's get out of here then. All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. If you want to hear that, go to patreon.com/earsup. Sign up for the $5 level, and you will hear the whole, like, 25 or 30 minutes of me asking questions to my microphone. All right, everybody. Thanks a lot.